Every door has a key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, The Key.
Yeah, there we are now. Everything we need, Joe.
You've got to come quickly, Doc. She's dead.
Then there isn't much point in my hurrying now, is there? My father once had some drugs stolen from him, Joe, and it certainly taught me a lesson. Never leave a medicine cabinet unlocked. Never leave
your
door.
Now, come on, Doc. My car's outside. The sheriff is up there already.
Yeah, it's a great pity. I liked Emily Lawson. She was very good with children, wasn't she?
I tell you straight, Doc, there'll be a lynching if we get a hands on her killer.
I don't like talk like that, Joe.
Well, that's how everyone feels.
For all you know, it may have been an accident.
With a rope knot still around her neck? Oh, no, Doc Harris, this is murder.
Well, it still doesn't make sense to me. Who would want to kill a nice young woman like Emily Lawson?
The sheriff has a few ideas who's guilty right now.
What sort of clues did the killer leave?
He carved his name on the wedding tree. I guess we won't have to look very far to pick up the murderer, eh, Doc?
Nice to speak to somebody who isn't on the verge of hysteria. You sure you wouldn't like a sedative, Joe?
Now, come off it, Doc. This ain't no time for jokes.
Nor is it an occasion for wild supposition and insane theorizing. All these people ought to be about their business, not gawking here in the hope of satisfying their morbid curiosity.
She's over here, Doc.
You sure got a tongue like a sour apple, Doc.
I need it when I'm forced to live with fools like you, Joe.
Little Randy Barnes was up here early this morning chasing after a squirrel. When he saw her lying at the foot of the wedding tree. He thought she was asleep at first and tried to wake her. Then he ran screaming down the hill to town.
Will you get those people out of here, Sheriff?
Okay, Doc. But you can't blame them for being concerned. After all, Miss Lawson was very popular. Everyone was fond of her.
Then they ought to show some respect for her now.
Now, how's about all you good folk getting along home? Or at least... move right back there across the path. Doc Harris has to examine the corpse. Certify death before we can move it.
I still maintain that...
That's enough, Joe. Take it easy. Go on now. You get over with the rest, boy.
I always said he should have been locked up years ago. A menace to society. That's what he is.
Yeah. Well, there she is, Doc.
Yeah. Strangled. Strangled with a cord or a strap. Been dead for about 11 hours.
About 11 hours, huh?
Mm.
Oh, and she must have been here last night at 10 o'clock or thereabouts.
Yeah. Funny she'd choose to come here last night. It was raining pretty heavy, as I recall.
Well, court and couples, don't worry none about the weather, Doc.
Joe mentioned something about her leaving a clue as to the killer's name.
Oh, yeah, sure. There on the tree, see? Just below that knotted piece of bark.
Mm.
She's carved a heart. And in it, two strokes of someone's initial.
Yeah, a vertical stroke and a horizontal.
It's an H. That's plain enough for anyone, Doc. She was carving an H.
Now, look, Joe, I thought I told you to
and
step on over there.
H could stand for Hiram, couldn't it?
Why don't you go off someplace and just cool down, Joe? You're getting on everybody's nerves.
Hiram's a lazy, shiftless, no-good loafer. He should have been run out of town years ago.
Do I have to listen to that babbling idiot, Sheriff?
We'll work this out on our own, Joe.
Well, I can tell you how it happened. She's waiting here last night for him to arrive. You know what it means when a girl or a boy carves a heart and their initials on that tree? It's almost like an engagement.
Yeah.
Okay, then, she's waiting here, and she just started to carve his name when he springs upon her from behind and twists the rope around her neck.
There's another mark here across her throat that wasn't caused by no rope.
No, she always used to wear a gold key on the chain, but it's gone. Part of the chain was found close to the body, but the key was vanished.
That's what Hiram would do. If the key was gold, he could sell it and...
I know Hiram, and there's nothing wrong with him. He's a good lad. One day, he'll be a fine rider, and a man like you will be proud to say that you once knew him, Joe.
Well, that may be so, Doc, but I still think we should bring Hiram in for questioning.
You're making a mistake, Sheriff. You've got two strokes carved into the tree. It could be an E, it could be
I reckon it's an H, and so do all other folk.
Good morning, Sheriff Wilson.
Morning, Dr. Harris. Hello, Joe.
This is Gannon.
Good morning, Professor.
Good day to you, Professor Porter.
I heard from the newsboy. I don't quite think I've recovered from the shock even now. My wife is distraught with grief.
Well, very natural, I'm sure, but... How long did you know Emily Larson, Professor Porter?
Well, she came to our college from Boston with excellent credentials.
Mm-hmm. She boarded in at the college, didn't she?
Yes, that's quite correct.
Did you notice she ever had any boyfriends?
Oh, I don't make any practice of inquiring into the private lives of my staff, but... no, I mustn't voice a mere suspicion.
Well, just let's have your views, Professor.
Oh, poor Emily. Poor girl. Well, that young Hiram Banning, he was always hanging around. He used to do a few odd things about the college, but he spent most of his time in the library. And Emily was a very studious girl, too.
That's enough. That's all we need. There's your proof, Sheriff. Let's go get him.
That's no proof at all, Joe.
You've always protected Hiram, and we know better. He killed her. He's a murderer. You hear that, folks? Get your guns, men. We're going to bring in Hiram Banning. No one get away with murder in this town.
Why not now, Joe?
He's probably hiding out in that little cabin in the woods. We set up the light and burn him out of his sight.
Come back here, Joe.
I should never have said what I did.
There's nothing more savage or cruel than mob hysteria. Look at them. Running in all directions like wolves gone crazy, lusting after blood.
You must admit that Hiram is a very extraordinary young man.
He's a genius. But I wouldn't expect anybody in this town to realize that.
A genius? No, really, Dr. Harris.
Well, all I know is I better do my level best to bring in Hiram before the crowd does. They're in the mood for a lynching.
Why don't you call in the state troopers, Sheriff? You'll be needing them.
I'm sheriff of this town. I can manage things on my own. I'll have the murderer named and under lock and key before I call the troopers.
The vanity of office.
They're not going to leave her here, are they?
The ambulance is coming over from Stillville Hospital now.
It's monstrous. Utterly monstrous.
Yeah, I don't know which is worse, though, Professor. Emily Lawson's murder or that crowd hooping and hollering and bent on murder of its own?
Time, Doc.
Hiram.
I climbed through your skylight and hid in here.
Damn sakes, boy, you shouldn't have come here.
Where else could I go? I waited on the highway to hitch a ride out of town when a pack of them saw me and started shooting at me. They caught me in the arm.
You sit down, boy. Let me see to that.
I broke into your medicine cabinet. Get some bandages. I'm sorry, Doc.
Well, don't you worry about a thing. You just sit there and take things easy now, son.
What's wrong with them? Why are they after me? I know they think I'm crazy because I don't get a regular job and because I like to live out in that cabin in the woods. It's no use my trying to explain to them that I'm trying to write a novel. I was trying to write a novel. All I had on paper went up in flames a little while ago. And they set fire to my cabin.
Lucky you weren't incinerated with it.
What is it? Why are they after me?
Emily Lawson was found murdered up at the wedding tree this morning.
Emily?
Strangled. They're blaming you, Hiram.
But I wouldn't kill anyone. Much less her.
I know that, but you're the scapegoat.
It's funny because I went right by the wedding tree early this morning. I like walking through the woods at that time. I found this lying near some bushes. The key. I was going to give it to her at the college today.
Do you swear that you didn't see her?
I don't need to make any oaths, Doc. I've never lied to you, and you know it.
I'm sorry, Hiram. I'm sorry that I doubted even for a moment.
What'll I do with this?
You give that to me.
That's where it goes.
Doc, they found me.
You finish bathing that wound, Hiram. I'll dress it for you later. I haven't used this in a long while, but as I recall, there's no better shot than Doc Harris in the six counties around.
Bring him out, Doc! We got a run ready for him!
You get down off my porch, all of you. Now get down, I say! Sure, you follow the bloodstains like wild pigs.
No, Doc! You feel really lost in the marriage of the penalty. That's
the law! The law of the jungle! I'm warning you, Joe. Take one step forward and I'll shoot. All of you, hear me now. Most of you I brought into this world. All of you have nursed in your hours of sickness and need. Neither the cold of winter nor the heat of summer held me from your bedside. When I was ill with fever, I'd still come to you. When my own wife was dying, I left her side to tend your wife at childbirth, Harry Marchand. All this I've done for you, and now I swear to you that this boy is innocent. I swear it on the faith you have in me, the trust you've given me throughout the years. My father and my grandfather before me were doctors in this county, and you know that I don't take an oath like that lightly or without thought. Reason. I'm handing Hiram over to the sheriff. He'll stay in the county jail to the inquest tomorrow afternoon.
He'll be found guilty, Doc.
I made an oath before you all, and I'll stand by it tomorrow. Okay, Hiram. I'll finish dressing that wound now.
They're going. They believed you, Doc. For a while, they seemed mad.
We'll get the inquest over tomorrow afternoon. I have to drive you over to the sheriff's now, Hiram.
Once you show the sheriff that key...
I know. The coroner's not likely to believe that you picked it up under some bushes.
You know I didn't do this thing.
If I didn't, do you think I'd have stood out there and said what I did? No, son, I have as much faith in your innocence as I have faith in the perpetuity of human folly and bestiality. I'll just finish tying this bandage and you'll be ready for your trip to the sheriff.
I'm not sorry that novel was burnt, Doc.
No?
I've learned so much about human nature in the last hour.
It can be pretty mean and ornery at times.
No, it can be magnificent. Thanks, Doc.
You've been practicing ever since you graduated, haven't you, Doc?
I certainly have.
And your father and grandfather before you. That was a mighty foolish stand you took yesterday afternoon. Sure, I know you had to save Hiram's life at all costs. But you'll be finished as a doctor from now on.
I'm prepared to take that risk, Sheriff.
All these folks trust and admire you. If they find you wrong in this case, they'll never put their faith in you again.
You believe the boy is guilty, too, don't you?
When you handed me that key yesterday, I knew he was the murderer.
You'd be prepared to send him to the chair on that evidence alone, eh, Sheriff?
Sure would.
I feel kind of cold all of a sudden.
I was going to have the windows open because of the heat.
When's the coroner due to arrive?
He should be here now.
Well, I'm going to ask for the privilege of questioning Hiram and any other witnesses I may choose to call. Is that in order?
Well, it certainly is, Doc. That's a lawyer's job.
If you knew the legal code of this county, you'd read where an interested party can ask questions of all witnesses directly involved in a case of murder.
Why, is that a fact?
All you have to do is ask permission from the coroner.
Well, didn't you operate on his wife last year and save her life?
Yeah, tricky operation, but successful.
Well, now, I can't see him refusing, can you?
Now, Hiram, I want you to tell us in your own words what happened yesterday morning.
Well, I got out of bed before dawn, made myself some coffee. When the sun was starting to rise, I dressed and went for a walk.
Went for a walk at dawn, young man? What are you, a poet?
No, Mr. Coroner. I'm hoping to be a novelist.
Bang, bang.
I followed the stream down through the redwoods. It runs close to the wedding tree, but I didn't see Emily. I didn't see anything there.
And where did you find the key?
He dragged it from her neck.
Now, listen, if that man can't keep quiet, have him removed, Sheriff Wilson. This inquest may be slightly unusual in that Dr. Harris is asking questions, but I'll not have any interference from the crowd.
Thank you.
I went across the bridge of the stream. On the other side, I noticed something glinting. I found the key near some bushes.
And you put it in your pocket, naturally.
I intended to give it to Miss Emily that afternoon.
You were well acquainted with her, weren't you?
Yes. She let me use the library on many occasions at the college. I even used to take some books back to my cabin with me. Occasionally, I did odd jobs at the college, like tending the furnace and rolling the lawn.
Were you fond of her?
I liked her well enough, but she was always very quiet. Almost secretive.
Did you ever take her out?
I did ask her once to see a movie with me, but well, she refused. I only asked her because she'd been so nice to me over the book. I wasn't upset or anything when she turned me down.
I think that will be all, Hiram.
Thanks, Dr. Harris.
Now, Dr. Harris, do you feel inclined to stand down and allow...
No, if you don't mind, I'd like to make some inquiries about this key.
Very well, Doc. Have your way.
There's an inscription on the back of it which I can't decipher. I wonder if Professor Porter could oblige.
Will you go to the stand, please, Professor?
Certainly.
Identify yourself, please, Professor.
I'm Francis Porter, president of Harcourt College. The subject I teach, apart from my administrative duties, is Latin. Miss Emily Lawson was a grade teacher at the college.
I called you, Professor, because this inscription has me beaten. You know what a doctor's Latin is like.
Perhaps I may be of assistance.
Amor patitur moris.
Translated very roughly, love endures delay.
A very curious phrase to be inscribed in a Phi Beta Kappa key, eh, Professor?
I couldn't pass an opinion on that, Doctor.
Well, Emily Lawson was only a grade teacher. She didn't possess a university degree, did she?
Hardly.
And she was wearing the Phi Beta Kappa key, one of the highest awards granted a scholar in the United States. Now, Mr. Coroner, I have a list here of all members of the Phi Beta Kappa Society in this country, and there's no mention of Emily Lawson.
Is this relevant, Dr. Harris?
I reckon so.
Are you quite sure it is a Phi Beta Kappa key?
Well, I noticed that you're a member of that society, Professor. Perhaps we could compare it with your own.
I lost mine several years ago.
And you didn't apply for another?
I never bothered.
Why?
Well, it didn't seem of any importance to me. After all, I am a member of the society. My name is inscribed in the list of members. That is quite sufficient.
You gave your key to Emily Lawson, didn't you?
That is absurd.
Because you were in love with him. That explains the inscription on the key itself. Love endures delay. Now, what sort of delays would that refer to, I wonder?
Mr. Coroner, I must appeal to you.
Go ahead with the questioning, Doc. This is mighty interesting.
It's monstrous. I insist on being represented by my lawyer.
This won't take very long, Professor. Love endures delays. You promised Emily that you'd marry her, didn't you? You told her that it would take some time to get rid of your wife. After all, a man in your position couldn't face a scandal like divorce without losing a very lucrative post indeed.
This is a complete fabrication. There is no truth in it whatsoever.
So you told Emily to be patient, told her to wait, told her that love endures delay.
Never. I was never interested in her.
But then, barely 3 months ago, your wife inherited a large sum of money, didn't she?
She did receive a small bequest.
You call $40,000 a small bequest.
I did not love Emily Lawson. I did not...
Professor Porter, I believe you. After your wife inherited that money, Emily became more than a nuisance. She became a constant embarrassment.
I care only for my wife.
That's what you tried to tell Emily, and she wasn't at all happy. I doubt if anybody would be in her place. After all, you've been stringing her along for a good many years, Professor. And while she could endure some delays, her patience couldn't last forever.
I did not kill her. I never laid a hand on her.
Things came to such a pass that Emily demanded you see your wife about a divorce.
Never.
You tried to fob her off with talk of the scandal, how it would affect your career. But by this time, Emily had heard about the $40,000 windfall, too. And she suspected that your love for her had cooled somewhat.
Mr. Coroner, you must...
Hold on, Doc.
You had a number of scenes with her, and then Emily said that she was going to see your wife. Now, this was a very ticklish situation for you, wasn't it, Professor? After all, you hoped to have a share in the spending of that $40,000, and your good wife had never suspected for one moment that you'd been carrying on a romance with that nice, attractive, quiet, refined little grade teacher, Emily Lawson.
For pity's sake, Doctor.
What pity did you have on Emily when you tried to placate her by arranging a meeting at the wedding tree the night before last?
I wasn't there. I was studying in the library.
She knew straight away what you meant when you suggested meeting there. The young couples of this town have plighted their troth beneath that tree for generations. She knew then that you intended to marry her. She waited patiently for you there. The rain meant nothing to her, for Emily loved you desperately. As she waited, she carved a heart in the tree and then drew the first two strokes of a letter. The letter F, which is your Christian name, Professor Francis Porter. Because she was so tiny, she carved the middle horizontal stroke first. And that left people to imagine that it was the beginning of an H. You saw her there, and you saw her inscribing in tangible form this revelation of your love. And you strangled her.
No.
As she fell beneath your hand, you noticed the key which you had given to her. And in the blind fury, you tore it from her throat and ran down the path to the car. You hurled that key into the bushes in your terror-stricken flight, and that's where Hiram found it the next morning. You killed her for your share of $40,000, didn't you, Professor?
But
he went. Don't worry, Sheriff. Don't worry. He'll come to later.
You're sure he's not dead?
No, quite sure.
That was terrific, Doc.
We knew you'd get the truth all along, Doc. We knew you were the man to find the killer. Can't see Professor Porter. Never did like him. Always said he was the wrong man for that job, eh, fellas?
Get out of my way,
Joe.
Yeah,
but Doc.
Hey, wait. He's a smart man, Doc Harris. Now, didn't I tell you he was smart, huh?
Come on, Hiram. Time we took ourselves home.
I haven't got a home though, Doc. They burned it yesterday, remember?
There's a spare room at my place. You can live there.
I don't want to impose on you, Doc.
Well, I want to keep an eye on you. Seems like being a novelist is a mighty dangerous occupation in these parts. We'll go out this way. Get away from the crowd.
A closing door finishes the story. Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery, romance, or adventure all start when a door is unlocked by the key.